Okay, today we continue discussing laws of brachos, and this next section will deal with, we call it multiple foods, which basically, so far we've been talking about, well, what if you have two separate foods, you want to eat one and then another one. Now we're going to talk about two separate foods that you're eating together at the same time. Either they're mixed in together or whatever, and that will bring us to a very important topic, which is called, for the beginning of today's class, called Ikar and Tafel. And that's the name of today's topic. Which means whenever two foods are eaten in combination, not one and you're finishing it in a second one, you're eating two together pretty much at the same time. And we'll describe all the possibilities of that. Now we have a principle called Ikar and Tafel. Ikar is called the primary food. The Tafel is what we call the secondary food. And here's the golden rule you got to remember. When there is two foods together, and we will show how we determine it, but if you can determine that one is the Ikar, one is the primary food, and one is the Tafel, we make the bracha, only one bracha on the Ikar, the primary, and it covers the tafel, and we do not make a separate bracha on the tafel. So let's start running with examples that will make it clear. Let us say you have a fruit-filled yogurt. Yogurt with bits of strawberry in it. Okay, now, the bracha on yogurt is what? The bracha on a strawberry is? Adama. The question is, what bracha do you make on the yogurt that's filled with strawberries, or any other fruit for that matter? Okay? Now, you have to ask yourself the following question. If I ask you, if somebody says, what are you eating? What are you going to answer?
Yogurt.
I'm having yogurt. Are you going to say, I'm having strawberries?
No.
No, you're going to say, I'm having yogurt. So therefore, that's what you're eating. I mean, you're primarily eating yogurt, but you'd like it to have a nice little taste that tastes a little bit like strawberry flavor. So the strawberries, it's not that you really want, it's not like I'm eating strawberries and I'm putting some yogurt on my strawberries, but rather you're having yogurt and the strawberries are flavoring it. So that would be a classic example of Ikar and Tafel. All right? So therefore, what we say is, look at point number four. The Ikar food is defined as the ingredient which is the logical reason for eating this food mixture. In other words, why am I eating it? That's how we define it. What am I doing? Now, obviously, this is subjective. It's going to depend. It's not a golden rule. Everyone in the world eats it for the same reason. So, therefore, when you're going to ask certain questions, there'll be certain gray areas and will depend on the person who's eating it because everybody has different reasons why they eat things. So, we're going to have to start working on certain criteria. So, therefore, sometimes the Ikar is the ingredient that you most desire. We're going to get into detail on all this. Sometimes it's the majority ingredient. And sometimes it's based on the function that that particular ingredient serves in this mixture. Okay? So that's how we are defining the Ikar. Okay? Again, it's very subjective. What do I mean? It's one I most desire, or the majority of it, or the function. The Tafel, the secondary food, obviously, therefore, enhances the Ikar because it only adds, let's say, taste, texture, volume to the main ingredient, and it's not the primary reason for eating the food. That's generally how we define a tafel. It's not the primary reason I'm eating it. However, here's an important caveat. If this ingredient is desired for itself apart from the main ingredient, then it's also considered an ikar and requires its own bracha, and therefore it's possible to have two ikars in one situation. That's the rule, and rules always get clearer as you give examples. But again, the Ikar is, why am I eating this mixture? What's the real reason why I'm eating this mixture? How are we going to know that? It could depend on what I want to eat, if it's a lot of that ingredient, what function does this food serve? Well, the Tafel is basically It's not for its own self. You wouldn't be sitting down to eat the tough ale, but it does things to enhance the main one. However, if the tuffle is substantial enough that you would eat it even on its own, then even though the two are together, there'll be circumstances where you'd make two separate brachas on them. And the examples will clarify this, okay? And we're going to give to all different types of tuffel foods. And the first one we're going to call is a food enhancer. What does that mean? So one category of ikar v'tuffel is when you're interested in eating two different foods, but one food is being used primarily to enhance the taste of the other. That's all it's there for. Now, what's the question you ask? The question you ask is, what food do you specifically desire? So let's say, for example, you're having crackers with peanut butter on it. Okay, now, the answer is not going to be too clear-cut, but let's just start with one possibility. Generally speaking, we would say, well, first of all, what's the bracha on a cracker? Mizonos. What about the peanut butter? You should say depends.
If it's crunchy.
That's right. If it's pure, smooth peanut butter, it'd be shahako. If it's crunchy peanut butter with lots of crunches there, it'll be adamo. Be that as it may. So now, the question is, do you enjoy the taste of the cracker? Yes. Do you enjoy the taste of the peanut butter? Yes. Now the question is, now again, I'm going to go with one way of looking at it. It's not the only way to look at it. But you could say, well, really, I want to have crackers. But I like the crackers to taste better, so I'm enhancing the taste of the cracker by putting peanut butter on it. If that's the case, now you may say, wait a minute, I might really want to eat peanut butter, but I'm not such a person who just takes the spoon out of the jar, so I'm using the cracker as something to just be something for the peanut butter to sit on. We'll talk about that later. But let's just assume that you really want the cracker and the peanut butter is just to make the cracker taste good. Then you'd make a mizonos on the cracker because that is the ikar and it covers the peanut butter. You do not make a bracha on the peanut butter. Now, let me give you other examples. How about vegetables? You're making a nice these vegetables and you have a dip. And you really want to have vegetables. Well, vegetables alone don't taste that good. So I just dip my big piece of carrot into the dip. I have a little dip and a lot of carrot. So again, what's the primary? Do you sit down and eat dip straight? Usually not. Usually you want to have vegetables. But vegetables alone don't taste so great. So you're putting, you're dipping it in. So even though the dip may be shahakol, we don't make a bracha on the dip. Okay, how about, let's say, ice cream. And you're going to put something on top of the ice cream. You know, maybe you put a few little sprinkles of fruit on the ice cream or whatever. It has to be a non-shahako because if it's the same, let's say if you just put chocolate syrup, it doesn't matter. Shahako on everything. But you just put a little bit of cookie dough crumbs, right, to top it on. But essentially, you want the ice cream. So therefore, the bracha's on the ice cream. How about, let's go with potato latkes, where it's nice and stringy and piecey, and you're eating it with applesauce. So again, if you primarily want to have the latkes, and the applesauce is just so that it makes a little nicer taste for the potato salad, the potato latke, you'll make a bracha on the potato latke. All right? So these are all gefilte fish and horseradish. Well, that wouldn't matter. They're both the shahakal anyway. All right? About meat. And you just have a little bit of having meat, and on top of meat, you put a piece of tomato, a slice of tomato on top of the meat. Okay, again, you primarily want to eat the meat. So in all these cases, the bracha is on the primary food, and there's no bracha made on the other food. Now, that, again, you have to get every case very clearly. There's still many, many more factors to look at over here. But if in your mind, the real thing I want to eat is A, and B is strictly as an enhancer, and I would never think of eating B by itself. And let's say, when was the last time you ate applesauce by yourself? Well, last time you were sick, but normally you wouldn't. Most people don't eat applesauce. I'm not saying, but a lot of people don't eat it. But yeah, but for my latkes, I like to put applesauce on it. Well, that we could tell. If you're a person, every day you eat applesauce on its own, Okay, then that would change it because you really love applesauce. Oh, great, I can have applesauce. After that, then maybe you make two brachas on it. But if you generally, we could tell, do you normally sit down and eat applesauce as a serving? No. But when it's Hanukkah and I got latkes, I'll put a little applesauce. Well, clearly the applesauce is only used as an enhancer. Now again, like I'm saying, if a person loves applesauce, you mamish, every day you eat applesauce by itself, and a lot of days you eat potato latkes, and now you want to put them both together, then you'd make two separate brachas because each one is a primary. Okay? That, in general, that rule is clear. So now, point seven, the above rule applies even if the tuffel ingredient constitutes the majority. Same rule, even if it constitutes the majority. All right? What else? Let me just make sure I don't jump around over here. So in other words, let's say I had a lot of applesauce. Let me just, more applesauce than potato latkes. But you really want the potato latkes. Doesn't matter, even though it's a lot of applesauce, you're really mating for the potato latkes. Now, here's another important rule, eight. The bracha on the ikar only covers the tafel when actually eaten in combination. You got to eat them together. But what if you're eating a separate spoonful of peanut butter? Are you having cracker here? Peanut butter and a spoon in the jar, and you're eating cracker, spooning peanut butter, and eating it directly from the jar. I'm just saying theoretically, right? Well, then obviously you haven't combined them, right? So therefore, a new bracha would be requiring the peanut butter, because obviously, why are you not putting the peanut butter on the cracker when it's so easy to put it onto the cracker? So obviously, what's happening there is you really want to eat them separately. They've got to be eaten together in some way, shape, or form. Okay? So far, so good? So now comes a very famous... So let me ask you now, very simple, cereal and milk. And let's say the cereal, which we'll talk in more detail probably next week, we'll talk about cereals. Let's say the bracha on that cereal by itself would be mazonos. Milk is shahako. So now, cereal milk, what are you going to do? You tell me.
Depends if you want both of them as much as each other.
Cereal and milk. Now, you normally don't drink a glass of... Let's say you... When's the last time you drank a glass of milk straight? Usually, especially nowadays, I don't know, no one drinks milk anymore, right? But why do most people have cereal and milk?
To soften up the cereal,
right? Not everybody likes to eat dry cereal. So I want to have a little milk in the cereal. Clearly, now if you really want milk for milk, you'd have a glass of milk, right? Now, okay, if you really are a milk person, you say, yeah, I have to always have 8 ounces of milk, and I want to have 8 ounces of milk. Well, then the obvious thing to do would then be make a mazonos on the cereal, take the glass of milk, make a shaka on the glass of milk, drink a little bit, and then pour some more into the cereal. But I would say 99% of people have cereal milk or having because they want the cereal. But now we come to an interesting situation. So what usually happens when you eat cereal milk as you come down to the bottom, what usually happens? Which one do you usually finish first?
Cereal.
And I've got, let's say, a full ounce of milk sitting at the bottom, and I'm not going to discuss how people take care of that last ounce of milk. Some people throw it away. Some people will still use their spoon, and some people without the grace will just take the bowl and the milk that way. Now the question becomes, but I'm having the milk all by itself now. Maybe I should make a shahakal on the milk because I'm eating it all by itself. So look at what we have in point number 10. Point number 9. If you have some tuffa left over after finishing the ikar, you were eating them together the whole time, but there's a little of tuffa left over. No bracha is made on the remaining tuffa. For example, when making a bracha of mazonos, when eating Cheerios and milk, no bracha is made on the remaining milk that is drunk after Cheerios are finished. That is an often situation people aren't aware of. Oh, I guess I should make a shahako on what's left. No, that milk was only because of the cereal. Even though it's left over, it's all included in that bracha you made on the cereal. Now, here comes another tricky situation. A sandwich, but not a bread sandwich. Bread sandwich is out of question. You have bread with whatever you put inside to make a mozi finish. Done deal. But we now have moved away from bread a lot, and we now move on to crackers. And this seems to become the new eating mores of many, many people for whatever reason. They don't want to, they want to wash and bench, whatever, dietetic reasons, I don't know. So now let's take a look at the sandwich, a non-bread sandwich. Let's go with the same rule. Is the food the, now, you know, what's usually, again, we assume you want crackers, but not necessarily. It could be that the thing inside is an enhancer or not. So let's say you're having a cracker with tuna on it. Okay, a tuna with a cracker with avocado spread on it. So now ask yourself, what is it that you're really interested in eating over here? So what would you have? Any of you had a cracker and tuna sandwich lately? No? Do you have anything with crackers?
Avocado.
Avocado, right? So what is it that you really want to eat? Honestly. So why aren't you just eating it with a spoon right out of an avocado dip thing? I'm not criticizing. I'm just trying to understand. So we can help you understand what bracha you're saying. You have to think of what you're doing, right? So what's the cracker doing there? It's enhancing the avocado? So you wouldn't eat the cracker by itself? Okay, all right, so that's an interesting spin on things. We'll have to see. So that may not be covered by everything here. It'll be covered by something else. But let's look at point number 10. If you're having a non-bread sandwich of two foods together, the rules are, if one food is an enhancer for the other, then it is tefillah. If you're interested in each food separately, then both brachas are required. Okay. For example, if you're eating tuna on a rice cake, and we already said the rice cake bracha is borei pri ha'adama, you said. The tuna is shahako. So the proper bracha depends on how you view each of the foods. If your primary intention is to eat a rice cake, and you're simply using the tuna as a spread to enhance its taste, then the bracha on the rice cake, then the bracha on the rice cake covers the tuna. Let's look more possibilities. If you really want the tuna, simply using the rice cake as an enhancer, like to hold the tuna, then the bracha on the tuna covers the rice cake. If you look at both the rice cake and the tuna as fully significant, then two brachas are required. So you could have three people eating tuna on a rice cake, and you'll see three different modes of bracha made. The one who really just wants the tuna will only make a shahakal. The one who really just wants the rice cake is making the adama. The one who wants both will make two brachas. Which one will they make first? The mazonos. Mazonos takes priority over shahakal, and that would be that. So that is category one of, as we said, food enhancers. All right? Any questions on this idea? So I think it's very relevant because so many people are eating crackers nowadays. It's like crazy. No one's eating bread. So you have to realize that any person has to say to themselves, what is it that you really want? I would assume many people want both. That's what I would assume. It doesn't have to be that way, but I would assume. Because, listen, if you really wanted avocado, why don't you just have it with a spoon? Unless you're going to say, well, it's a little bit too strong avocado by itself. You know? It's like... So therefore, I'm going to have the cracker because the cracker kind of doesn't make it so avocado-ish. And it's a little, you know what I'm saying? So then I guess you only make a shahakal on the avocado. You really want the avocado, but the cracker just makes the avocado more palatable. You follow? But if you really like to eat rice cakes and you really like to have avocado and you want to have two great tastes together, then you'd be making two brachas on that. There's some that you eat avocados, some you eat rice cakes, and you put it together, you eat that. All right, that is the first type of ikar and tofel example, where still, remember, the two foods are very distinguished one from each other. Right? The cereal and the milk. The cracker and the tuna. All right? The vegetables and the dip. So they're not really mixed together per se, but you're eating them together. They're touching each other, but they're... Now we go to category number two by point 11, which is mixed together. So until now, either it was spread on the food, like even with a dip, here's the the carrot, and the dip is on top of it, right? Here's the cracker, and the tuna's on top of it. So it's still, it's not, we wouldn't say it's mixed together. It's layered one on the other. Now we're going to mixed together. So when separate foods requiring different brachas are mixed together in the way that the ingredients are combined into one mass, we'll explain an example of that, or when they are cut into small pieces and eaten together, even though you desire each of the ingredients and neither is there to merely enhance the other. In other words, you're mixing it up and you like all the ingredients there equally. A fruit salad would be a good example of that, but we'll have to see exactly. Nevertheless, only one bracha is recited. Why? Since the mixture is defined as one food. Here's the difference from the first scenario. The first scenario, tuna and a cracker, it's clearly, could you call it one thing? You know, don't call it, you know, tuna cracker. No, it's tuna is one, cracker is another. Cereal and milk. Cereal is one thing, milk is another. Right? The carrot and the dip, carrot is one thing, dip is another. But now when you combine a bunch of ingredients and they're mixing them together, it's not, you know, four separate ingredients, but it's called fruit salad. You don't say it's pineapple with apple with grape with this. You don't call it that. You say, what are you serving? I'm serving fruit salad. All right? So that's the idea. So therefore, it's only one food. Do you see the difference between the first scenario? The first scenario, crackers and tuna, it's clearly two foods, but you're eating two foods together. Here, the combination and the mixture is such as it now is redefined. Yes, I had an apple here. I had a grape here. I had a pineapple here. Yes, then I cut them up into litty-bitty pieces. And all of a sudden, the four separate foods are now called one dish, fruit salad. So now when you eat fruit salad, you only make one bracha on fruit salad. Now, there's going to be exceptions, but just this is the idea over here. So point 12, in this type of ikar and tafel, the correct bracha, so now what are you going to make it on if, let's say, the combination has two separate foods that started off as two separate brachas? So the first rule of thumb is usually determined by the majority ingredient. Okay, and let's have an example. Broccoli quiche. What are the two main ingredients in a broccoli quiche?
Eggs.
Okay, broccoli and eggs. Right? There's a nice amount of eggs, a nice amount of broccoli. Okay? What are you eating exactly? Well, I'm eating a broccoli quiche. Okay, but what are you eating exactly? Right, is it mainly, are you eating broccoli, that's a broccoli quiche, or are you eating eggs, that's a broccoli quiche? So the answer is, what's the majority ingredient? Now, I'm not an expert in making quiche. You could tell me. I don't know what the ratio is. There more, you have a broccoli quiche, I guess there's other kinds of quiches, right? What gets more, the vegetable ingredient or the eggs? Now you got to think about how you do things automatically. You just follow the recipe. You don't think. That's okay. Now you got to start thinking, right? You're having a broccoli quiche. Now you got to start looking. Do I got more broccoli than eggs? Do I have more eggs than broccoli? I don't know the answer. I leave it to your expert judgment.
How do you compare? Like if it has four eggs,
oh, whatever's it has more, whatever's more volume, whatever there's more of. What takes up more space? You know, you put the eggs. You know, take care of what you weigh. Whatever. There is a way of knowing what's more than the other. Okay, we'll talk about that. Okay, let's just get the simple cases first. So, for example, a broccoli quiche made of eggs and broccoli baked together. That's very important. They were made together, not added afterwards. Since the egg-broccoli mixture is now one dish, only one bracha should be said, and the majority rules. If the majority is broccoli, then the bracha is adama. If the majority ingredient is egg, the bracha is shahakal. Okay, that's the rule. Let's give another example. How about chicken chow mein? It's not over here. Chicken chow mein. All right? What is it usually made out of? Pieces of chicken and sautéed vegetables. Right? Now you're mixing it all up. Well, what's the bracha? Is it going to be shahako on the chicken or adom on the vegetables? What's going to be the answer?
Majority.
What's the majority? Now, even though you may be, so let's say you're not so, it depends a lot of times on your economics. If you're not so rich, you have a lot of vegetables, a little bit of chicken. If you can do well, you have a beef and broccoli, whatever. There's all these Chinese dishes or all these dishes. So what do we do? What's the majority? Even if, and so this rule applies, even though you're more interested, let's say, in the chicken, you have beef and broccoli, you really would like the beef, but there has a heck of a lot more broccoli than beef, right? Even if they're clearly distinguishable, still, if there's a majority, the majority wins. You got that? So usually if you go to a restaurant, most of the time, they always give you less meat and more of the other stuff. That's generally what happens. So you could assume that when you're going to a restaurant, if you're just eating that, then you would make the bracha on the vegetable part, because that usually would be the majority. But maybe at home, where you're more generous with the beef and the broccoli, then it would be a shahakal. Okay? Now, you may at this point be asking a question. How is that different than cereal and milk? Or what if I really had more milk than... Why don't we say if I have more milk than cereal, it should be shahakal? Why aren't we saying that same idea? And the answer is the purpose of the milk is clearly only to enhance the cereal. Therefore, the majority doesn't matter. But the vegetables in this chow mein, whatever is they're both important. It's not just enhancing the meat. They're clearly both important. But if you would indeed say the broccoli is only there to enhance the meat, then they would be tofel, and then you only make the bracha on the meat. So it depends. But generally speaking, a chicken chow mein is really you want to have both. Okay? Now we go, going to get to the fruit cocktail now. Okay? Line 14. This rule of a mixture, and you go with the majority, it applies even when the items are not cooked or baked together, but are merely mixed together. For example, a fruit cocktail, here we got to remember, it's going to be clear distinction here, which contains small pieces. And what am I going to define that? That in every spoon, you'd get a bunch of pieces, as opposed to really large pieces. That's a very important point. So, which says, let's say, small piece of bananas, pineapples, pears, and apples. Although each piece of fruits remains separate within the mixture, nevertheless, only one bracha should be said, since they are eaten together. And then you see, oh, there's a banana there. There's a piece of banana. That's a dama. Oh, there's a piece of apple. That's eights. Doesn't matter. You mixed it together to be eaten as fruit salad. It's fruit salad. That's it. Now the question is, what bracha? So what's the rule? Go with the majority. Go with the majority. To determine which bracha to say on the fruit cocktail, you need to know whether the majority of ingredients are ha'eitz, apples and pears, or ha'dama, bananas, and pineapple. So, for example, if the fruit cocktail has a majority of apples and pears, you say the bracha eitz. Now, let's continue though. But if after a few bites you dig in for another spoonful, and it just so happens that only bananas and pineapple happen to come into that spoonful, doesn't make a difference. You do not say a bracha adama. In other words, we look at fruit salad as one entity. We'll see there's going to be one exception to that rule in a moment. But generally, it's cut up small, and you take a spoonful, and what comes in the spoon? Could be any number of fruits. So I could have apple and banana in one spoonful, apple and pear in another spoonful. I could have pear and pineapple. So what? We go with the majority, and you don't have to say an adama. Now, however, there could be an exception to that rule. Let's say after having a few bites, you say, you know what? I really like bananas more. I'm just going to now dig in and take about 8 pieces of banana. Even though you made an 8 on the fruit salad, but you say, you know, I really, really want it. Now you've kind of taken it out of the group. So then you have to make another bracha, borei pri hadama, on that. You follow the point there. Now, we're going to see a few interesting points. It's going to depend. I'm still not finished with the fruit salad because it depends how big the pieces are, as you'll see in a minute. And this will also apply to cholent, as we'll get to later. I don't know if we're going to get to today. begin to see this gets very complicated, right? But right now, all I said only applies to very small cut-up fruits, and in any spoonful, you'll have a number of fruits coming out, so the mixture is a mixture that's staying a mixture throughout. Go with the majority, and that will decide that. Now, 16. A mixture, there it is only considered one food if the pieces are small enough to be eaten together in one spoonful or forkful. Okay, so now if you cut up giant pieces of fruits, and really you don't get more than one fruit per spoon, well, we wouldn't call that a mixture. You follow? I mean, you're getting big chunks, and you just barely get one. You get one piece that comes on your spoon. You get an apple on the first spoon, a pineapple on the second spoon. Well, that's not going to be considered mixed together. And therefore, then we go back to the old rules that we learned last week. What if you're eating two foods with two separate brachos? Then we have to go back to all the rules. Well, which one is first? Eitz and Adama. We give you four rules of what's the order, and then we go with that order. You follow? So mixed together means it's really mixed together and the pieces are small enough. We'll see how this will apply to cholent. Same thing. How many brachos you make on cholent? We'll talk about that separately. So now let's take another example, which was a stark difference. Okay, how about steak and potatoes? You're eating them together and they're on the same plate. Well, is it a mixture? Well, not really. Right? Because if it really was a mixture, you'd cut up the steak into little pieces, cut up potatoes in little pieces, mix it all up, and have steak and potatoes combination. That would be one thing. But here, if you're eating steak together with potatoes, although they are on the same plate and part of the same meal, and even let's say they were cooked together in one pot, you put the steak and cut up some potatoes, each food requires its own bracha since each is its own separate entity. All right? So now this becomes a very important rule in defining something to be called a mixture. Mixture means it's made in a way that as you eat the mixture, every part of the mixture can come into each individual spoonful and forkful. Right? If only one comes at a time, then that's not considered a mixture to consider it one whole thing. When you're cutting up large fruits, we will not call it fruit salad anymore. It's going to be cut up pineapples, apples, and whatever, oranges. It's no longer a fruit salad because you're only eating one fruit at a time. Okay, so you're going to, now when you're making fruit salads, you got to think what kind of fruit salad you're making, how big are the pieces, and that will determine what bracha you make on the fruit salad.
What about a cottage pie?
A who?
A shepherd's pie.
So again, so what would you, well there, okay, that already is going to be a little, there's a rule we haven't learned yet, so we're going to have to hold on to it. There's a couple exceptions, and that's one of those exceptions we haven't learned. We'll get to it.
What about a Greek salad? It's got lots of different things.
Okay, again, what are you, why are you eating the Greek salad? It's a salad, right? What's the majority? I would assume it's vegetables. I would assume it's vegetables, right? So therefore, it would be a bracha bori pri adam. It's not like you put tons of feta cheese. What is feta cheese, right? Cheese. It enhances it. But you're really there to eat salad. That's what it is. So the fact you got some cheese. Now, if your mom has smothered it, and it was like, mom, there's so much cheese, like beyond, then okay, then maybe you make two brachas on it. But generally speaking, a salad, by definition, is the vegetable or fruit, whatever, is what you're really eating, and we're just enhancing it. It's just, I like that. I'm having salad. It tastes a little cheesy. Right, so that would be the bracha on that. Now, here we asked, somebody asked before, point 17, what if you're unable to determine which food is the majority? You don't, what was the one you were, your quiche? You don't know what the majority is? So there's three ways. Now you're punting. In other words, as opposed to saying, let's get a definite answer, I don't have a definite answer. So you have to do one of three things to avoid the problem. Either add more of one ingredient to make it a majority. I just don't know which one has more. It's a fruit salad, and I can't tell, is there more apples or more pineapples? So very simple. Cut in a few more apples. And now you know clearly it's the majority. That's avoiding the issue, but that's the only thing you do. Or two, alternatively, say brachas on other foods that require the same brachas, having in mind to cover the other foods. So let's say your fruit salad. So first, take an apple by itself, make a bar pre-eitz. Take a banana by itself, make a bar pre-eitz. Or any other foods that are eitz and adoma. And then don't make any bracha on the fruit salad because you have in mind the fruit salad. If neither of these is feasible, then separate a piece of each food and say two separate brachas. So the quiche is already made. And for some reason, that's all you have. You put on a picnic and you didn't bring anything else. So take a piece of broccoli out, take a white piece that looks just egg, and make two separate brachas on that. By separating it, you make a bracha on that. Okay? That takes care of that idea. Now, another important point with Ikar and Tefillah. Remember, if one is the Ikar, and you're making a bracha, right? So you've got, let's say you've got the Chinese food over here. You got the chicken and you got the vegetables. And we're saying the main thing you want is the chicken. That's, remember, we said to go with the majority, though. The majority, right? So majority is vegetables. So now you're making a bracha bar pri adama. Now you put your fork into the thing you're going to eat. Now, if you're making a bracha pri adama, what has to be in that first forkful? Some vegetables. It's going to look awfully funny. You're making a bar pri adama and you take the first thing is only a piece of chicken. Well, if the ikar was the vegetables, why are you not making a bracha on the vegetable? So therefore, that leads us to 18. When eating an ikar and tefel combination, you should be careful that the first bite after the bracha includes at least some of the ikar food and not the tefel alone. Because that would like contradict what you just did. Now, the first bite does not need to include some of the tefel food. That's not important. As long as you're intending to eat the tefel food too. In other words, you don't have to have both in one spoonful. Well, I'm only making one bracha. I better eat both together because that knocks off. No, I can eat the tefel afterwards because that's tefel. It's supplementary. But the ikar must be first. Now, if for some reason you eat only the tefel food first, then it cannot be required as regarded as tefel, and you'd need to say the bracha that's appropriate for that food. In other words, if you just, before you made a bracha, you took your fork in, and guess what? You came up with three pieces of chicken and no vegetable. Well, and that's what you want to do. Then you're going to have to make a bracha on that chicken, which could be problematic, because on why you make a bracha, that's not necessary. So probably if you did that, put the chicken back into the thing and dig in again and make sure you get a vegetable on that one. So again, ikar and tefel, if you decided the ikar is A, whatever it is, there's got to be ikar in that first mouthful that you're eating. So now that we have enough information, let's go to one of the most famous questions that exists. What's the bracha on chocolate-covered raisins? All right? Yes? You eat chocolate-covered raisins? Oh, yes. Okay. So let's analyze the situation over here. You've got chocolate, which is shahakol. You have raisins, which is ha'etz. And the question is, well, what's the primary and what's the supplementary? Right? Is it that you really love raisins, but you want them to taste chocolatey? Or you really love chocolate and you want it to taste raisiny? So that would be the first question we would ask you. Now, what are you going to answer, of course?
I really like both.
You really like both, of course. So let's look and see. What is the bracha? It's 21. So if you have a clear preference for either chalk or the raisins, then you'd say that bracha. Unfortunately, it's hard to decide which you really desire. And since neither the chocolate nor the raisins can be considered tefel, you should say two brachos. Ha'etz on the raisins and shahakol on the chocolate. So now before we go on, wait a minute. So which one should you say first? From the rules that we've learned, should be ha'etz should come first, right? Because that etz, bore pre-etz, comes before shahakol. What's the problem?
The
etz is covered up by the shahakol and you can't get to the etz until you get to the shahakol. You see? That's what he's saying. So what do you do? Well, you should first say the eights on the regular race and then shahak on the chocolate, right? If this option does not exist, you should simply say shahakal on the chocolate followed by the eights on the race. In other words, What he's saying is really, 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 you should make a board for AIDS first. So then how are you going to do that? Well, how do I do that? Well, I guess I'd have to cut the chocolate raisin in half. Or, you know, that becomes tricky. Now, I mean, that's really, then I got to kind of scrape off a little bit of chocolate. That's going to be hard to do. But that would be, that would somehow be the optimal, you know, but usually it doesn't work that clean. So therefore, okay, I don't have a choice. I can't get to the raisin first. It's just not possible. So then you make a shahako on the chocolate. And then, again, this is a little bit not adequately as good as you like it. So you make a shahako on the chocolate, and then you have to make a borei pri ha'etz on the raisin. So it's going to be kind of weird, you know. It's like I'm just like, you make a shahako on the chocolate, you know. And okay, now some raisin, and I make a bracha on the raisin. But that's what you'd have to do. So it's very, and there's a big argument on, there's a lot of different opinions. But that would be, so what do you think would be the optimal thing to do? Most optimal. Go find a non-chocolate covered raisin. Get a glass of water or a piece of chocolate. Make an eitz on a raisin. Make a shahakal on a piece of chocolate. And then eat the raisin, chocolate covered raisin. Right? But if you only have the chocolate covered raisin, well, you know, it's a little bit challenging how to eat it. That's all I'm saying. If you really like both, then you have to find a way to make two brachas on it, and I leave it up to your dexterity and ability to figure it out. So it's a complicated food. It's a very complicated food. So that's how we would deal with that. Okay? So therefore, so far, in Iker and Tofel, we have determined when two foods are eaten together and not mixed together, the Iker is the one that you really desire. And if they're all mixed together, then it's the majority that decides what the ikur is. So far, so good? Okay, now we're going to throw in a monkey wrench. That way I couldn't answer some of your questions because a new rule gets thrown into the mix. And that's mizonos. Okay, and when we're talking about mizonos here, okay, we know mizonos is special because it's more of a sustainer. And when you put a mizonos in this rules, the mizonos is going to shift some of the rules because of the nature of mizonos. So I was trying to avoid mizonos in a lot of our examples. But now the example you gave, what was the one you asked? With the shepherd's pie. That's going to be a new factor is because there's mizonos in the dough. And we're going to see if mizonos is one of the mixtures, it's going to be weighted more in favor of the mizonos, as we will explain. But first you have to define mizonos over here. And rule number one says, a mizonos food, when in any of these cases of Iker and Tofel, receives its own bracha even when it is a Tofel. Because mizonos is such a special food. However, we have to define mizonos means has to be foods of the five grains, and to the exclusion of rice, even though rice is a mizonos, it will not get the favored status here. So rice is to be excluded from this. Okay? But mizonos is going to take its own bracha, even if it's a tofel. So let's start giving examples over here for rule number one. For example, soup nuts, which are added to soup. So now you got to understand. And let's say, for example, that you want to put the soup nuts in to enhance the flavor of the soup, which often is the case. You're having chicken soup. Chicken soup alone is boring. So you're going to put some soup nuts, or those what do you call those, little yellow croutons, right? When you put them in there. So let's think about that. What do you really want? When you have soup, right, clear chicken soup, and they put these croutons in. So what is it you really want to eat? The soup. Well, no, we really want crouton. Well, if you want crouton, just have a bowl of croutons. Obviously, that's not, and when you do, then that's, but it's with soup. So you would normally say, what'd you normally say? It's Iker and Tofel, soup with croutons, or soup with soup nuts. Obviously, I'm eating the soup, I should make a shahakal. That's what you would think. Here comes the exception. Mizonos is so special, it's going to take a bracha on its own as well. Okay? So now, The main thing is the ikar, yeah, is the soup. But mezonos, even though it's a tafel, retains its bracha and doesn't get consumed, subsumed within this. So therefore, they would have to get a bracha of mezonos. Now, well, we got to wait a minute now. So now, exactly what I got to do. There's soup with soup nuts. So what's the first bracha I'm going to make? On the soup or on the nuts? Why? Because it's mezonos, trumps shahakol. So therefore, however, since the bracha on soup nuts is mezonos, they do receive a bracha. You should say mezonos on the soup nuts and then recite separate bracha on the soup, which is the ikar. So therefore, you're going to have two. Even though the mezonos is a tofel, but it's not a tofel that gets subsumed within the ikar because mezonos is special. And therefore, if you're having soup with soup nuts or those little crouton things there, you would make a mezonos first on that and then a shakal on the soup. However, if you add a lot of soup nuts, I mean, it's just a ton of them, then it's becoming like cereal and milk. Then the mezonos becomes the ikar and no other bracha is said. So again, I would suggest it would depend at a table who's eating it. I would say if a teenager's eating and they're dousing it, as we know they do, right? They just put tons of it on. Then they would only make a mezonos. An adult would have to make both, starting with the mezonos and then a shakal. So that's rule number one. Mezonos food receives its own bracha even when it is a tafel. Now, rule number two is an important rule. When mixed with other ingredients and made, now so far, but that's the two foods, they're still a little bit, even though you're eating it together, but they're still identifiably separate. Right? You see the soup, you see the soup nuts. Right? You're eating them together, but it's not a mixture per se. Remember? We're talking two types where it's, you're eating them together, but it's not a mixture, or you're eating them and it's all one mixture. So if we're talking about with the mezonos, it's not a mixture, but you're eating them together. Now in rule two, when mixed with other ingredients and made into one food, a mezonos ingredient is always considered the ikar, even though it's not the majority. Remember we said the rule, when you're mixing it up, we go with the majority? The exception is, or the new rule is, mezonos wins, and that's the only bracha, even if it's not the majority. And let's have a classic example. A cake that contains flour, sugar, spices, eggs, yeast, and water. And you're making cake. In this case, now, if you're eating one thing, it's called cake. What's the bracha on cake? Well, normally we say, look at the majority. Well, what if in your particular cake, you put a lot of eggs, a lot of sugar, a lot of other different spices, all kinds of things in it. And there happens to be a minority of flour, right? So you would think, well, let's go with the majority food. The majority is, let's say, eggs. And all the other ingredients are shahakol. You think I make a shahakol? No. You make the mezonos even though the flour is the minority ingredients because mezonos wins. You got that idea? So although we say we go with the majority when there's a mixture, if mezonos is one of the items, now there's going to be, hold on, you're going to see three exceptions to this rule. So hang on. But generally mezonos wins. So let's give an example first, okay? Then we'll, cheesecake made mainly of cheese. Now here's important. With a relatively thick crust on the bottom, and it's baked together in the oven. You put it all in the oven as one thing. That defines it as one food. It's one food because you baked it all together. You had a raw, what are you going to call it? A raw crust, I don't know what you call it, right? And a raw cheesy mixture. And now you're baking it in the oven. So it's one thing. And although the crust is clearly not the majority, but it's a flavorful crust, it does add flavor and is considered the ikar, even though you eat the cake primarily for its cheese component. So the bracha on that kind of a cheesecake is mezonos, okay? Because, and remember, because the cheese and the crust were baked together, okay? But let's just take it a step further now. How about 7? A cake topped with cream frosting. If the frosting is minimal, then it's tafel, and a bracha said only on the cake. However, if the frosting is a thick layer and you desire it for its own sake, then the frosting requires its own bracha of shahakol. Okay, you bake a cake, let's say a Sobeys cake now. You got to ask yourself, what is it? Do you really want cake, or do you really want to have yummy, yummy frosting? So now think about when a little kid eats these Sobeys cakes, really think about this. What do you normally see? I'm not going to say always. They eat all the frosting, and maybe incidentally a little cake gets eaten. Well, in that case, they may not even eat any of the cake. Really, the cake is just a pedestal for the frosting. So maybe there's only a shahakol. But let's say the kid's going to eat both, then really you should make two brachas on that. And the truth is, that's true. I mean, the frosting, you didn't bake it together. You never bake a cake with frosting together. You can't do that, right? So I baked the cake. A, I'm putting frosting on. B, well, we're going back to a cracker and tuna fish. That's what you see, right? And definitely, they love the frosting. Now, if it's like a really thin layer, you know, you make, let's say you make these banana cakes, adult banana cake, adult apple cake. You know, let's say those Bund cakes they make in Brzezinski's that have a little bit of caramel frosting. That's not a ton of caramel frosting. What you are is just making a caramel taste on your apple cake. Well, then that's certainly nullified. That's a tuffle. That's not a question. But we're talking about the good Geschmack of Sobeys cakes, where there's momish, it's like, it's heart attack cakes. It's got like frosting all over the place. Well, clearly, and that's placed on after the item was baked. It's clearly two separate items over here. And even though mezonos, it's a mezonos, and mezonos rules, yeah, mezonos is definitely one of the ikars. But with that kind of frosting, the shahakol is another ikar, and therefore you'd have to make two brachas on that. Which really becomes very interesting. Because if you recall, we talked about desserts. Think a little further now. You're making it, you're serving now, you have your Shabbos table. Okay, you have a motzi, covers everything except some desserts. Remember we said the rule, and it cover it, but mezonos is usually part of the meal. Remember? What if you would have just a regular piece of cake for dessert? Would you make a mezonos on for dessert? We already said no. What if you would have candies for dessert? Shahakol. Yes. Now, dessert is a birthday cake from Sobeys. Tons of frosting. Tons of frosting. Ooh, the kids just eat there. Whoa, that's amazing, mamish. And let's say the adults who are not watching. We're like that cake right there. Right? The one in the back there. You see in the little thing? Right? That's a Sobeys cake. Well, too bad a lot of the frosting is gone, but it was tons of frosting. So now if you really like the frosting, and I remember when I was a kid, I really loved the frosting, and now only because I'm worried about my health, I don't eat it, but I still love the frosting more than the cake. So now think about it. I really should make two brachas on that, shouldn't I? I should make a mezonos and a shahakol. So now that it's the end of a meal of dessert, and we don't make a bracha mezonos on dessert, but we do make a bracha on shahakol. And frankly, if you just served me a bunch of frosting, I'd be happy to eat the frosting. Then it comes out you have to make a shahakol on that cake. You follow what I'm saying? That would appear to be that way. So if you're bringing out a Sobeys birthday cake at a Shabbos meal, so, and everybody really likes the frosting, you'd have to make a shahakol on the frosting. You see, that's something that's new, right? Got that? So, and if you're in doubt, I don't really know what I want better, then you should say a shahakol on another shahakol food and have in mind to cover the frosting. Let's say, I don't know, it's like kind of on the border. There's not a ton of frosting. There's a little bit of frosting. It's an enhancer. Right? So in a normal, you have a piece of cake, so you make a mezonos on the cake and then take a glass of water and make a shahakol to cover that. Okay, now, both of the above rules pertain to mezonos foods are applicable only when the mezonos ingredient is adding either flavor or substance. Okay, these two rules that we said, remember, rule one, a mezonos gets its own bracha even when it's a tefillah, right? So you have the soup and the soup nuts. Well, obviously, there's taste over there. There's lots of flavor. Get some mezonos, right? When you're mixing them all together and making the cake, even though the cake may not be giving the flavor, but it's giving substance. It's not, imagine making a cake without any flour. Well, you got a bunch of eggs and apples and this and that. It just sits like there. But I don't have any substance. I want to have like something that sticks to the ribs. So now I got all that flour, good substance. Okay, now we're going to have, but there's three exceptions, few exceptions, where the mezonos is not producing flavor and not producing substance. In that case, then it goes back to the old rule. We go with the majority, and we would not make the mezonos. So let's have some examples of that. You follow what I'm saying? When, again, the normal rule is a combination. You go with what the majority is, right? Or what's the main intention. But we said, no, mezonos trumps that rule, because we always go with the mezonos. But that mezonos has to be when it's for flavor or for substance. What if it's not? So let's give three exceptions to the rule. Let's say the mezonos ingredient is insignificant. Then the rules will change. Okay? So let's look at an example where it's insignificance. For example, let's say you're making meatballs and you're stretching the meatballs. So you put a little bit of mezonos in there, right? Breadcrumbs, chvase, matzo meal, I don't know. There. So flour is often added to meatballs or to give them a thicker texture. If this is the only reason that the flour is being added, not for taste or sustenance, right? I mean, remember, mezonos does fill you up, right? When you're making a cake, part of the reason you have the mezonos, you want to feel full after you eat the cake. So one piece does it for you because the flour is filling you up. That's sustenance. But if you're just adding it up to give it a thicker texture, and it's not so you should really be eating a lot of flour in there, it does not become the brach ikar, and the brach on the meatballs is shahakol. Same thing, let's say, for gefilte fish. Just putting a little flour in so it has a little bit more thickness, texture. It's a texture issue. Then we ignore the rule of mezonos, and it falls through. Or let's say another example, going back to the cheesecake. You're going to see there's multiple brachas on cheesecakes. The cheesecake is baked with a thin crust, whose whole sole purpose is to hold the cake together. Then the bracha would not be mezonos, but rather shahakol. Because really, all you want to do is be able to cut pieces. And if you're just having cheese, it'll kind of fall apart. So now I got a very, very thin layer of mezonos. It's thin, and it doesn't have an outstanding taste either. And it's just there to kind of hold the cheesecake together so I can make nice servings. So even though there's mezonos there, it's really not there for flavor or sustenance. And finally, licorice, believe it or not, which is primarily made out of flour, but the purpose is only as a binding agent, and therefore the flour is not considered added for either taste or sustenance. And therefore the brach on licorice is shahakol, even though it has a considerable amount of flour.
What about schnitzel?
We're going to get to that. And that, I believe, is the next thing. We're going to get to that. Okay. Exception number two. When the mezonos or even bread is being eaten for the sole purpose of accompanying the other food. You wouldn't even want to eat it. It's just okay. What do we mean? I already gave this example a while ago. Let's say you eat a very salty fish. You can't eat it. You like fish, but it's so salty. So what do? In order to make the fish palatable, you're going to even have a piece of bread, let's say. But you don't really want to eat a piece of bread. But the fish is so salty, I just can't get it down my throat without a piece of bread or cake or whatever. It's only being used to temper the salty taste. The fish is the ikar, and even though it's bread, it will be a tefillah, and you'd only make a shahakol on the fish. Because I really don't want to eat it at all. I just want to be able to, I can eat the fish properly. Example number two. someone drinks a shot of whiskey and when reciting the blessing has intention to afterwards eat a small piece of cake to soothe the burning sensation of the drink. A chaser. Really, you want to have whiskey, that's all, but it's going to burn a hole in your gut. So we'll put a couple pieces of cake in afterwards. And I know I'm going to do that. So therefore, it's only a shahakal. And you don't even make a bracha on the cake. It's only there to soak up, as it were, the thing. But that's already a question of what do you really want. Or if you also are interested in eating the tafel, the bread of the cake, then they do require their own separate bracha. The status of tuffle applies only in a case where the food is being eaten exclusively because of another food or drink. So it depends why you really want to eat it. So therefore, if you're having a mezonos and you're really not interested in it, it's just enabled to eat the other food, then you have the other food. Okay, those are the exceptions. Now, come, we'll end on this note, your question. Fried fish or chicken cutlets? What do you put on the top? Breadcrumbs, right? Now, answer, it depends why you're putting the breadcrumbs on. So, a healthy person, well, how much breadcrumbs you put on? Not a lot. Just putting a little bit, just to spice it up a little bit. You buy spicy breadcrumbs, put on the top. It's not just a bland piece of schnitzel, of white chicken. Okay, it's a little bit of a taste. So, a thin coating of breadcrumbs is generally regarded as a spice and does not add enough to be considered ikar. Therefore, the bracha is shahakal on schnitzel. However, if you're going to like Kentucky Fried Chicken type of chicken, all right, there are mamish where the fry is like as thick as the chicken, right? They have such things, right? And really, the kids really just want to eat the fry and not even the chicken, right? If, however, the coating is thick or adds significantly to the taste of the cutlets, then mezonos is required on the breadcrumbs. Well, it could be. Now you have to decide what is it you really want. Again, for some kids, where really all they do is they eat the coating, they don't even eat the chicken, then you only make a shahakal. An adult, let's say, who likes really both, then we're going back to the chocolate-covered raisins, and you'd be making two brachas. Okay, he says, as well we say, so you'd make a mezonos on the breadcrumbs, or it's best to say mezonos on the coating and shahakal on some other food, having the chicken in mind. If this is not possible, you should separate a bit of chicken from the coating and say two separate brachas. So again, that will depend on who you are. So before we leave, let's just touch on one other case. How about an ice cream and an ice cream cone? So what's the answer? It depends on the cone. Right? Now the bracha on ice cream is shahakal. The bracha on a cone generally is mezonos. Now there's two kinds of cones. You have the really cone that tastes like cardboard. You know what I'm talking about, right? It just tastes terrible. But so basically, it's just a fancy cup. It's just a fancy cup. And, you know, when you're in a store, you know, they just gave you the cone because they don't give you a cup, whatever. And strictly, that was only to hold it in place. Then you only make a shahakal on it, right? But if you got those brown sugar cones, and the sugar cone tastes amazing, then you definitely want that as well. So now you have to make a bracha on both. And which would have to be first? Mezonos first. You'd have to break a little bit off of the cone and make a mezonos and then a shahakal on that. Okay. How about one last one? How about a chocolate cream pie? All right. So what would you say? It's like really two separate foods, isn't it? You don't bake it together, do you? You're making a pie and you're putting cream in it. It's two separate foods. You probably want to eat both foods separately, right? So therefore, you probably would make two brachas, on that, because it's definitely two separate things. They're not mixed. It's definitely not a mixture. And therefore, you really want both of them. So if it's baked together, then we said no, the mezonos wins. The cheesecake that's baked there. So again, I don't know, I'm not an expert. Let's say you make cheesecakes that you don't, the non-baked cheesecakes, I don't know, yeah? So let's say you're baking this amazing crust and you're making this amazing cheese and it's not really baked together, you may make two brachas as well because it's not really one item as well.
What about Caesar salad with croutons?
I'm sorry?
The Caesar salad with croutons.
Again, you're just eating a salad, It's just merely as a taste enhancer. It's not really anything else. It's the majority. Next week, soups and cereals. And we're going to give you an amazing cereal checklist. Next week. We're still good for next week?